After hearing Dawn's testimony, I want to give a very quick testimony about our financial situation. As most of you know, I've changed job recently, and the job that I was moving to was a lower band than the one that I was currently in. So essentially, I was taking a pay cut, but because I was part time in the one job and going full time in the other job, I was just ever so slightly better off. But I was still getting paid less per hour. Well, due to the interesting way the prison service works, I got my contract through, and they're actually going to pay match my original grade until my old grade catches up with the new one. So I'm now getting paid full-time hours for what I would have been if I was a band three rather than a band two. And we just really felt that God said, no, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to prosper you. And I'm going to bless your finances and you can trust in me. So I just want to give thanks to God for that. That was a real encouragement for us as a family. Now, I'm going to start off by reading some verses from the Gospel of Luke, and it's chapter 10. And Jesus said this. This is what it says. It says, "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field.'" And some of you might know that we was away a couple of weeks ago, and during our time away, we spent a week at a conference. And this was the opening scripture that was read for the first preach of the conference, which was entitled "Gathered for the Harvest." And during this first session, the guy who was preaching, he looked at the subject of harvest, Old Testament, and what Jesus said about it in the New Testament, and he drew three very important points, which I think would be very helpful for us today. So going from this scripture and one or two others, these are the points that he made. First of all, in the Old Testament, harvest was spoken of as promise. It was spoken of as something that was to come and would definitely happen. There was no chance that it wasn't going to happen. And in these verses, we see Jesus is saying, there is a harvest, there is a harvest out there. There is a harvest not of grain, not of potatoes, but a harvest of people for the kingdom of God. God is going to do great things, and he's going to bring people back to himself. And this is the great promise of the Bible, that God is going to continually reconcile people to himself. And that was the first point that he made. And then the second point he made was from the Gospel of John. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in quite a lot of meetings where people have stopped and said, "Revival is just round the corner. I've heard that next year God is going to bring revival. In 10 years' time, God is going to bring revival." And I don't know how you feel, but I feel like I've been waiting an awful long time for revival. Well, in the Gospel of John, this is what Jesus says. It's John chapter 4, and he says this. He said, "Do not say that there are yet 4 months, then the harvest comes. I tell you, lift your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest." Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to pray for revival, but Jesus says we don't need to wait for revival. He says the harvest is now. We don't need to say that revival is coming next week, that revival's coming next year, that revival will come 5 years down the line. Jesus is saying that the harvest is for now. We have a harvest that is certain. We have a harvest that is for now. And finally, in the passage that I began reading with, Jesus says that the harvest is going to be big. He says the harvest is plentiful. Right? And in fact, Jesus says that the harvest is too big for you. He says, the harvest is so big, there's not enough of you. He sent out 72. He says, the harvest is too big for you. Now, again, I don't know what your experience tells you, but I sit here thinking, well, it's a lot of us, and we're not seeing an awful lot of fruit. The harvest seems much smaller than we are. In fact, probably, with what I can see happening, three or four of us could probably have done that by ourselves. Don't really need all of us. But no, the reality is, the promise of God is that the harvest is too big for us. There is a whole world out there that doesn't know Jesus. And that's the harvest. There's a whole world out there that God is preparing. It says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Jesus is the Lord of the harvest, and he goes before us to prepare the hearts and minds of those who he sends us out to. And I want to read this short section again. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field. Did you notice who Jesus told to pray? Because we might think that we need to pray. We need to pray that Jesus will send people into the harvest field. So let's gather a little group, and we'll sit over here in our little room, and we're going to pray that Jesus is going to send people into the harvest field. Right, but actually, what Jesus said, he said, I'm sending you into the harvest. There's not enough of you. You need to pray. So it's not that some of us are laborers and some of us are prayers, but actually, we should all labor and pray. That's Jesus' calling for us this morning, that we would be laborers, prayers. Because the harvest is too big for us. And I wonder if you believe that this morning. It's that the whole idea of this conference was to faith and expectation that God is about to do something absolutely amazing. And prophetically, we've had this spoken over as a church. Julian Adams prophesied over us that we would go through the 200 mark. I don't know whether you believe that prophecy or not. I don't know how you feel about that. But God has got something amazing planned for us. More recently at Borderlands, Jeremy Simpkins said that we were going to see significant growth, that we were going to grow as a church. And I wonder if this morning you have faith and expectation for that. So, what is Jesus' plan for this harvest then? Where are these laborers going to come from? Where are these workers that we're going to earnestly pray for? Where are they going to come from? Well, Jesus tells us that just before he was ascended to heaven. And we read in the Gospel of Matthew this. These will be familiar verses to a lot of you, I'm certain. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you till the very end of the age. Jesus' plan is for us to be disciples who make disciples. The way Jesus is going to raise up laborers for the harvest field is from those who come to know him. That's his great plan. His calling for us individually and corporately is to be disciples who make disciples. He said, go make disciples and teach them to do what I've commanded you, which was go make disciples. It stands to reason, doesn't it? So we are to be a people who disciple people to disciple people. God's not the God of one generation. God is thinking long term. He's thinking generations. We are to be a generation who raise up the next generation to go out and raise up the next generation. That's God's great plan for the harvest. The laborers don't come from, hopefully we can steal some Christians from over here and let's import some from over here. And the Chinese are doing quite well, so let's go and get some Chinese ones. I'm sure they could do a great job. No, God's plan for the harvest is that if you're a disciple of Jesus this morning, God wants to use you to disciple a next generation to go into the harvest field and bring a harvest for the kingdom of God. And I want to spend the rest of this morning talking about a very specific way that we intend to make that happen here in this church. A very specific thing, a very integral part of our strategy as a church to be a church of hope and restoration, a church who is labouring in the harvest field. And that's through the Alpha Course. Now, there are lots of ways in which, as a church, we demonstrate the gospel to people. Through the Access English, we demonstrate the gospel. Through the food bank, we're demonstrating the gospel. Through Happy Tots, we're demonstrating the gospel to the word, to the world. And these are all very important things that we're doing as a church, and they're a very significant part of our strategy to be a church of hope and restoration. But Alpha goes a slightly step further in that this is part of making disciples. We demonstrate and proclaim the gospel through our works and our actions, but then we also begin discipling people towards a relationship that can be sent out into the world to disciple people into a relationship or towards a relationship with Jesus. So Alpha is very much a very integral part of our strategy as a church and our plan as a church to be a disciple-making church. And I want to tell you that God is doing some great things through Alpha. God is really doing some very interesting things through Alpha. The last Alpha course that I ran, or that we ran as a church, God brought along five people who had no real contact with the church whatsoever. That's actually never happened before. We've often had a contact off the internet or something like that, but actually, they've never actually made a commitment and turned up to Alpha. And the last Alpha course, God brought along five people who had no previous contact with the church, only through the Alpha website or through somebody who said that we was running an Alpha church. One lady, on the first night of Alpha, turned up and said, "Have you got an Alpha course running tonight?" I went, "Yeah." And then she said to me, "said, can I come along?" Let me think about that for a minute. "Yes, of course you can. We've got space." I said, "Have you eaten?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "We've got a meal." "You've got a meal?" "Yeah." So she didn't have the meal on the first night, but she made sure that she'd save space for the rest of the weeks. But God is doing new things in Alpha. He's doing exciting things. And there are lots and lots of testimonies that I could share with you of the things that God has been doing during our time at Alpha. And this morning, I want to offer an invitation to you to come and be part of something that God is doing. There is an open invitation to become part of what God is doing amongst us corporately through the Alpha course. And there are three primary ways that I want to encourage you to be part of Alpha. And I don't want you to think that I'll pick one off the list, but I'd like you to think about how you could write something underneath all three headings. If you have a look on your chair, hopefully you will find some pieces of paper. I knew there'd be lots of empty chairs, so I didn't put one on every single chair. If you can't find one, see me afterwards and I will make sure you've got one. By the end of today, I would really like it if all of you could have found something to write under each of these headings. And I'm going to help you out a little bit by telling you a little bit about what each of these means and how you could help with them. So first of all, we're going to talk about prayer. I know I didn't put that at the top of the list. I want to talk about prayer first, because Alpha needs to be soaked with prayer. Alpha works most powerfully when it is soaked with prayer. And I'm so grateful that there are people in this church who are such great prayers. I know the Monday group pray so much for the Alpha, and they've prayed so much for me. The Monday group are actually, I really feel like they're the engine room of the church. A lot of things in this church wouldn't happen if it wasn't for the faithfulness of the Monday group when they pray. They really support and serve the church well. And I can only be grateful for the work and the effort that they're putting in. But actually, it's not just the Monday group who can do that. Everybody pray. Everybody can support Alpha through prayer. And there's lots of things that you can pray for. You can pray for the Alpha team, that we would work together really well. It's not uncommon that when people set out to do something, and it's a work of God, that the enemy comes and tries to frustrate it by causing division and arguments. And although we haven't actually experienced that yet, I'm under no illusion that that is very much a tactic of the enemy. And through your prayer and your support, you can put a hedge of protection around us in a way that when we're involved in serving and being part of it, we can't always do ourselves. And that support is absolutely invaluable to us. You can pray for those who are on the Alpha course, that they're going to encounter and experience Jesus for themselves, that they're going to know his power and his presence in tangible and intimate ways for their lives. There's lots of ways you can support the Alpha through prayer. And actually, what I would really like is for somebody who says, you know, I feel like I've got a gift of prayer and intercession. And if you think you can get a team together of two or three people, it doesn't have to be the same people every week, but if you can make sure that every week during 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock, well, on a Tuesday while the Alpha is running, you can gather a few people together and support us in prayer while we're doing what we're doing here in church, that would be amazing. Because while we're battling on the ground in the natural, you will be doing battle on our behalf in the heavenlies, in the spiritual. And it's a both and. It's we need to do both. And whilst we can pray and do what we're doing whilst we're doing it here, to know that we've got that support happening, that covering over us, is absolutely important. And then the second way that you can support Alpha is through serving. Now, you may think that you don't really feel confident to serve in Alpha. You don't think you've got the skills to serve on Alpha. Maybe you think you're not really the right person. Well, there are lots and lots of ways in which you can serve on the Alpha course. First of all, you don't need to be there every single week. In fact, what I've done is I've drawn up a rota with some handy little boxes that you can fill your name in. And on the front of here is a bit of a description for what each area of serving is all about, and when you would need to be in church, and when you'd be able to get out, so that you can try and fit it around your commitments and the other things you've got to do. So if you don't think that you can stop till 9 o'clock when it finishes, then maybe you can come and help set up. And then after we've had a meal together, you can go home. If you can't make it for 5:30 when everybody else gets here, maybe you can make it for 7 o'clock. And you can have a meal with us and then do the washing up afterwards. You can make sure the tea and coffee trolley is all set up so that when we've finished our DVD and talk, or the DVD section of the evening, we've got a cup of coffee to sit round and have a chat with. All these vitally important to making an Alpha work. Alpha doesn't function without a meal. It just, the fellowship that happens and the relations that are built around the meal table are such a fundamental part for Alpha. And if somebody doesn't cook and we don't have people to help in the kitchen, Alpha can't really happen. And we've already got some people who are interested. We haven't officially sent invites out yet. But I know that we've got one or two people that might be interested. I've had another internet inquiry off a lady who's interested in coming along. And I think possibly my brother might be coming along. So we've already got some people who potentially will be coming on Alpha. And it would be a real shame if we weren't able to put it on, because there wasn't anybody to serve. There wasn't anybody to prepare the meal or do the washing up. And I want to encourage you that most of you will be able to do that. Will be able to do something. And finally, Alpha really only happens when people are invited and come along. Now, I know I've said that I've got one or two people who might be interested, but to be honest, the more the merrier. We had 6 people on the last Alpha course, and we had a great time, as I think the crowd over in the corner there will testify. I think they really enjoyed themselves. But you know what? If there was 12, if there was 15, if we had to split into 2 smaller groups because there was too many, that would be fantastic. But it's only going to happen if you prayerfully think about who you can invite. Now again, we live in a world that tells us nobody's interested in religion. Nobody cares about Jesus anymore. Nobody wants to know about God. Everybody's hostile to it. This country is like it's like hard soil. It's kind of you can't get anything in there. You try to put a fork in there, and you're just hitting rock constantly. Right? There's no chance. But actually, I believe that God has a harvest plan for us. I believe that God has gone before us and He's prepared the ground already. That God has gone out there and He's softened hearts and minds. We're in an interesting place historically where a time of real affluence has come to an end. And the foundations have been shaken in this country. All of the things that people have put their security in are being eroded and being washed away. People don't feel as secure as they used to even 2 or 3 years ago. And God is placing in them a spiritual hunger. He's causing them to ask questions before in their lives. God is preparing hearts and minds. And the only way they will know about Jesus is if we go and talk to them about Him. We're in a place in history where I think for the first time there is a generation who have never heard the gospel. We were a Christianized nation. We were a nation that regularly preached the gospel in schools. The good news about Jesus in lots of areas of life. And for the first time, we're a secular nation. We're a nation where there are one or two generations that never heard anything about Jesus. Only some hearsay and some rumors and some untruths of what people have made up about Him. And some people have made their mind about Jesus having never heard anything really true about Him. What the Alpha Course does. Offer for people who want to explore a little bit more questions, come along and find out a little bit about why Jesus is so significant, why Jesus is so important, about the work that Jesus did on the cross. So I'm going to finish there and I'm going to pray. But I would really like to ask you to consider how you can fill this form. And this sheet will be on the table just in there. And being able to serve, it may require you to make some sacrifices. It may require you to make some adjustments to your schedule. You may have to make some alternative arrangements. But I would really encourage you. God gives you an invitation to come and be part of something He is doing that is really significant amongst us. There is an invitation this morning to become a part of something that God is doing that is going to grow our church. And He's going to disciple people towards knowing Jesus and raising up laborers for the harvest field. So, Father God, I want to thank You that You are Lord of the harvest. Lord, I want to thank You that that the harvest isn't based on our effort, Lord. But it's based on something You've already done. It's based on the fact that You've gone out and prepared hearts and minds. I thank You that we go into the harvest field with a powerful message. I thank You that the gospel is the power of God for salvation, Lord. I want to thank You that that Your message about Jesus Christ is the power that is necessary to bring people to know Him. That our strength and our mind won't do it, Lord. So I want to thank You that if we feel like we're not equipped, if we feel like we're not good enough, if we feel that we're not the right person, Lord, that doesn't matter. Because all You ask us to do is be deliverers of a message. Anybody can deliver a message, Lord. It was written by the King. The message is sent by the King who is on the throne above every other throne. The message is from the King who has power and authority over all things. So we thank You that we can have confidence in Your message, Lord. That we need confidence in our strength. In Jesus' name. Amen.